when we first started, at the beginning of the hour, it was 10 o'clock, very early out, we had one person who asked, why are we focusing on a topic like this when elections are 2 weeks away? And I smiled, we continued, and we got a few other questions and some people responding in some interesting ways. But the issue does not only, the issue of politics, or should I say the issue of a new Barbados, has not only to do with those larger elements being the economy and things like education, etc., health and those things. Housing is also large. And where do people sit? Where do people spend time? Where do people live? How do people manage their homes, etc.? Those things, security of tenure, those things are very, very important. And we are focusing today specifically on housing and land ownership and where we're going as a country. And we've brought in persons from the respective parties to share their perspectives. The Democratic Liberal Party, the party in office, is not here today. But we've had such a very good conversation about the varying new policies and new areas of provision that the parties are envisaging for Barbados. And in my research, there are a number of pieces of legislation which I want to bring attention to, which impacted on the shape and face of land ownership and tenantry and those other things that relate to the issue that we're speaking about today. Even before we were independent, the Security of Tenure of Small Holdings Act, 1950. Then we had the Tenantries Control Act in 1965. In 1980, that act was enhanced to become the Tenantries Freehold Purchase Act. And by 1989, the act was redefined. Actually, the act redefined the term tenantry because there were some interpretations and misinterpretations that took place. In 2001, the act was amended again, and this allowed non-plantation tenants to the right to purchase at that what we know as the $2.50 per square foot. And the other square footage would go at market rate. The other 5,000 is for the first 5,000 square feet, and that would go to market rates. After that, we had in 1973 the Housing Act, which gave rise to the National Housing Corporation, etc. Then we had the Rural and Development Country Act, 1995. It is very important that we see this matter as one of importance. It is critical that we see this as another important factor. It is not as some people will say, a silly topic. This is a very important topic, and I appreciate the comments that are coming from the persons on the panel here about where they envisage Barbados would be and what positions they have and they hold for such a critical topic like this. When we hear that 20,000 people are on the waiting list for National Housing Corporation, it can't be taken lightly. When we hear there are people who they die waiting to get their papers, or the people who spend 40% of their working life trying to pay for a home, these things cannot be taken lightly. And I'm glad to hear from the respective parties represented here how they have given thought to the critical elements of housing and land ownership in Barbados. We have in the studio Mr. Paul Fort from the United Progressive Party. We have Mr. Fallon Best from Solutions Barbados. And we have Colonel Jeffrey Bostick from the Barbados Labour Party. We have a number of callers on the board, and we will go directly to the calls. There were a couple questions on WhatsApp. We would have raised them. Some of them have been dealt with, and some are too long, to be honest. And we would hear from you. I will call one or two of them before we close today at 1:30, this Labour Party. We have a number of callers on the board, and we will go directly to the calls. There were a couple questions on WhatsApp. We would have raised them. Some of them have been dealt with, and some are too long, to be honest. And we would hear from you. I will call one or two of them before we close today at 1:30. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Are you with us? You're listening to your phone or you're listening to the radio? There is a 7-second delay. 7 seconds? There's a large delay, 20 seconds. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Are you here?
Here.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hi, yes, good afternoon. I was going to discuss some other things apart from the home ownership, but one of the home ownership things that I understand is, one, that the fees, the legal fees for buying a home and the commissions and so forth are extremely high.
Yes.
And those are, you know, very, very detrimental to anyone thinking of having to pay out an additional, because when you think of buying a home, most people think of, well, this is the price, this is what I'm going to pay for it. Then they realize, well, I have to pay another $20,000-$30,000 in legal fees and commissions and da-da-da-da-da. I mean, is there no control that the government can institute to control those kind of fees? I mean, in other countries, it's only like 1% or 0.5% or something like that. Here, it's ridiculous.
That's a good point. And not just legal fees, but you have two sets of legal fees. You have to sometimes pay the bank's lawyers, and then you have to pay the... You pay for yours. So
yeah.
I did mention, thank you for raising that. I did, in my research, there were a number of other costs. You mentioned transaction, you mentioned legal costs falling under transaction costs, conveying,
yeah.
And a couple others, consulting, consultative,
exactly.
Governance, and then, but I...
And not only that, then the land tax, you turn around and the land tax keeps going up and going up and going up, you know? There must be some kind of real relationship as to the value of the land. You can't expect people to be paying a rent every year for their home.
It is related to the value of the land. People pay based on the value of the land. The legal fees are conditioned according to the... So if you have a pretty large value, it is 10%, 5%, depending on that particular lawyer. But
mm-hmm.
it is if it is a very large piece of property, then your fees are going to be higher. If it's a smaller piece, then your fees are smaller.
Okay.
But they're still high. I take your point. In relative terms, they're still high. You had another specific question. I take your first question, which is, what policies are you looking to put in place to control that price and
exactly.
to control their costs? You have another question?
Yes. Well, I have another thing. You know, I hear all the politicians talking about, you know, how they can do this and how they can do that and how they can do the other. But, you know, I've not heard anybody come to the floor and say, well, look, you know, we have a population of X amount, what is it, $280,000. We have a tourist population of so many thousand. We have expats that own homes and so forth here. This is our total volume of people in Barbados. We need to supply electricity to them. We need to supply water to them. We need to supply health care to them. Right now, all of those services are stressed to the max. Okay, we keep getting electrical outages. The water supply is questionable. The hospital is you know, they can't deal with anymore. Okay, how are the politicians going to deal with all that? It's great to say we can develop, but if you build more houses and bring more people in, how are you going to handle that?
So the burgeoning growth is really his query. It's not a direct question to you specifically, but if you
well,
want
to
respond,
have a plan. I mean, if you're going to build another 3,000 homes, how are you going to supply electricity to all of them?
Several thousand.
You know, how are you going to supply water to all of them? You know, those are factors that we need to talk about.
Well,
I'm going to let you speak shortly, Fallon. Thank you, sir. I don't think you have any more questions, but his question is a legitimate query relative to how do we handle the increased growth and the other burden that we'll have on other sectors of the economy.
Energy. Your question alluded part of it to energy, the energy supply. Our vision for Barbados will include diversification in our energy source. Currently, we spend about 40% of Barbados' foreign exchange on energy. We import fuel at the Lord Lightning Power to power whether electric cars or the homes and utilities and equipment. And 50% of that energy is lost in transmission. We are committed to not just hydrogen and developing a hydrogen economy, but we need to have our energy sources diversified so that not just we can produce hydrogen and solar locally, but we can also reduce our imports. There's a multiplier effect for every dollar that is lost on exports. And every dollar that is saved, every dollar and every unit of energy that's produced here, it saves a unit of fuel from being imported with Forex, with foreign exchange. So we're committed to targeting to get 20%. The Solutions Barbados is committed to a hydrogen economy, to a diversified energy source. And therefore, that answers your question, how do we supply energy to the increase in homes? Well, some people, there are just lots of overcrowding. We want those children to be able to move out into new homes. So it's not necessarily increasing the population. And part of the increase will come from people that are coming from outside of Barbados. We want to advertise Barbados at the largest Expo Real, at largest real estate expo in the world. It's in Munich every year. And they're the largest investors, the institutional investors who invest in hotel projects and residential projects. We want to get them to invest, these institutional investors, and private sector equity investors to invest in Barbados and market Barbados in Canada and the North American markets, because we live on tourism. And when they come and they spend their money here, they don't take the money from Barbados, they bring money to Barbados. So if we are going to, as we said, part of the 7,000, not 3,000, 7,000 target by 2030, part of that is international investors. Part of it is international residents, people marketing and coming. They want foreign homes. The Canadians, it's very cold up there, and they want to come back. There are many, and St. Lucia is competing. St. Lucia would be glad to have them. If you think that they're coming here will be a burden, then there are others that don't share that opinion. We are glad we spend money. The BTA spends money every year to market Barbados, to get these people to come and live here and to visit here. And they bring money, and that is our tourism economy. They go to restaurants and they buy, and well, not sandals, but they go to restaurants and they spend money in our economy, and we want their money.
Thank you. Someone shared some prices here. It is not a very clear document, but it is a useful document based on the point made by the caller just now, one for which I agreed. And it speaks to the fees for preparing and completing conveyance of unregistered land, up to $25,000 for the first $750. On the next it's not very clear, so it would be good if you can resend it, because it says on the next $75,000, but that doesn't come up very clearly on here. But they're speaking to a specific order, that a statutory instrument, but it doesn't have the actual number, but it speaks to different fees. So it'd be good. That specifically, though, is land surveying. It's not clear because the end is not clear. But thank you for that. And then another WhatsApper mentioned, how can we speak about housing when we don't talk about the transportation network, etc.? Today's focus is on land and housing, one critical element, and of course transportation as a part of how we build out our infrastructure as a country is also important. And I think another day we could spend on transportation. I think we had that as a topic, Dennis, at some point, transportation as it relates to how the parties view the next step. So you probably missed that session, sir. Any other comments? Could we continue to go to the phone lines? Okay, this is Dr. Brass Stacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I want to come in here. I'm going to be looking at the city, because we start with the city this morning. I want to look at, because for the last 5 years especially, I have found that Bridgetown, especially our main street, which is Broad Street, seems to be a very, it's run down. Things are not happening there again, because a lot of these small businesses that were in those malls have moved out of town, and some have gone belly up or whatever. And Bridgetown is an established place with buildings and everything around. You know, I hear people talking about building new buildings, high rise, and all of that. But what are we going to do with those buildings that we have? I think that something we should do, the persons that own those buildings should be given some incentive to modernize those buildings and so on. I want to hear Jeffrey Bossett on this. I find that he's a kind of little quiet in there and allowing solutions to take over the show. So, Mr. Bossett, I want to hear from you. What is the Barbados Labour Party going to do with the existing business buildings in town? And what incentives is in plan to the person who owns these buildings to bring them into a modern society? Because Barbados has been independent for a long time. Its development has been forward. But we have come to a juncture where our development needs a lot more. It needs modifying. It needs uplifting, especially Broad Street and the surrounding areas, all down Chapman Lane and Nelson Street. Those areas are very concerned to building a modern bridge town and bring it into the into this century and the ones that is to come.
Could we get one more caller before we get a response? This is Don't Brown Stocks. Are you on the air? This is Don't Brown Stocks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brass Tack.
Yes, you're on the ear.
Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, what's your name again, young lady?
Lisa Gill.
Lisa, let me ask you a question. I live in Europe for some time, and I want to know if you can have a coalition government here, because I see Europe got coalition.
You're talking right up my street. I will let you continue on the point. Right up my street, I think. There are some, and this is my philosophy, there are so many good ideas coming from the various proponents of government, not just the existing government, persons who want to take over. And we would be doing ourselves a travesty if we were to just change administrations and shut down every single one else who, and when I say change administrations, not necessarily to go to the BLP, but what if the Democratic Labour Party gets back in office? And all of the good suggestions from the Barbados Labour Party, Solutions Barbados, and UPP, and they just get shelved, and we go back to normalcy, I think we'd be doing our country a disservice, because there was so much positive commentary and positive suggestions and ideas that have been coming forth in the discussion leading up to the elections that we would do ourselves a disservice. I did have conversations with varying persons about a coalition government, and there has not been any lukewarm or hot responses in that regard, but you never know. What if Solutions Barbados gets 5, United Progressive Party gets 5, Barbados Labour Party gets 5, and the Democratic Labour Party gets 5, and then all the other independents become members of parliament? We have to face whatever the scenario is. It is a reality. We don't know the future, but that's just a thought. Colonel Bossett, you needed to respond to the previous caller.
Yes, let me thank the caller for the question, but let me state here that in my opening remarks, I spoke to the question which was posed to me, which is housing and land ownership in Barbados, mm-hmm. where are we heading? Mm-hmm. And that is really where I was concentrating my discussion. I never introduced the issue of Bridgetown, but I made reference to it in relation to what some of the other panelists were saying.
Yes.
But to answer you directly, caller, the commercial part of Bridgetown, you know that most of the buildings there are owned by private people. And so in terms of generating activity within commercial Bridgetown, there are some things that we will do and that I have mentioned in terms of the transformational policies with regard to the urban and the rural corridor. And these policies will generate economic activity that will be redound to the benefit of the businesses in Bridgetown. The whole question of urban renewal includes Bridgetown and its environs. Mm-hmm. And this is something that is within the policy plans of the Barbados Labour Party. And it includes Batsys Road and its environs, Wellington Street and its environs, Cats Castle, Greenfield, Country Road, and so on. So the policy plans are there, but this focus today really was not supposed to be on Bridgetown. I can speak about our plans to Bridgetown for the entire day. But I was focusing on the macro aspect of the question. That is what we have been told to do.
Yes, we have a response as well from two other members of the panel. Go ahead.
Okay. One thing we're hearing a lot here is incentives. A person are suggesting incentives. We need to understand the fundamental issue of Barbados right now. There's a lack of money. Is the issue with revenue generation in the country. And so the United Progressive Party is not from the outside going to promise incentives, because we can't really identify where these incentives will come from. What we will do, and what under the United Progressive Party government in terms of housing and the direct buildings in Bridgetown, again, we go back to public-private partnerships. And this go beyond the private sector and the public sector, but we will include civil society and start to focus strongly on bridging the gap between these three entities of how we can, one, work to get these buildings back up. There are a lot of modalities within the PPPs that can be used that, one, saves government's money, saves the public sector money, and you're able to get things done in a more efficient manner and more cost-effective manner. And so these are things we have to look at. But when we talk about incentive, we've got to be careful because we may not be in a position to dictate what incentive we give and might have to take what is asked of us. And so these things we have to look at with this economy, which has a very serious problem right now with revenue generation.
To answer your question, caller, this is Fallon by Solutions Barbados. Yes, we are Solutions Barbados, our 28 candidates. We are here to win. We would like to, an outright win. We would like to show Barbados that you don't have to be washed in the blood, as another caller queried, but there are some persons who are washed in the blood, or D's or B's. My father's a diehard dark blue D. And if he never was running his constituency, he may love me, but he would vote for the D. He doesn't vote for a party. He votes for Mr. Barrow. Mr. Barrow was his personal friend. He said, I'm going to vote for Mr. Barrow. And there are a few, but the majority of Barbadians. In 2018, it has changed because you have a generation. We've sent thousands of people to university. They are thinking different. I mean, some of them thinking too different. They're influenced by Hollywood, but they're thinking different. They're not thinking how it was before. And they're asking questions. And you do not, and Barbados before the 60s, as I said earlier, had many independent persons. They came and they won their constituencies. You have five or six people in there. They won their constituencies and they didn't toe a party line. They voted on what was best for the constituency and what was best for Barbados, and they didn't have to toe a party line. And as a smaller party, as an incumbent party, we are not financed. And so whether it's a coalition, and there's not an outright win between the two traditional parties, which I hope there isn't, because there will be some financiers who will be very, very upset, because the traditional parties are funded. And when somebody takes up money to give to a political party, they expect returns.
Correct.
And the Barbados public knows this. And we are not. So anytime that happens, there's a coalition, the financiers will not be pleased.
This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We go until 1:30 p.m. today. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Can you hear us?
Good afternoon. Are you hearing?
Can you hear me now?
No, please.
Okay. Something is wrong. Good afternoon.
Yes, please.
Okay. Let's go.
I called in for a previous caller call just now. Boy Development, Bridgetown. And the urban corridor in Bristol. The urban corridor was in 1994 and 1983 manifesto by Barbados Labour Party to develop Green Park, Greenfield, Cascastle, and the very urban corridor in Bristol and everywhere. The first and most waterborne toilet was most on the agenda of the Barbados Labour Party, which started under the late Tom Adams. As the Labour Party left office, I don't know if Connell wasn't here, but as the Labour Party left office, that was stopped. Actually, the Tenantry Freehold Purchase Act, with some money paid in already by some of the residents, and to this day, at the tender, when the Barbados Labour Party leave office, no cash have been paid into the urban corridor at all. And when one seen that what the Barbados Labour Party have on the agenda for Bridgetown, the green in the Bridgetown start under our senior minister, Dean Billy Miller, which she stay on Bridgetown, really boardwalk, Wickham boardwalk, and even Central Bank, over by Central Bank, over there area there, was the green. Go right up to the hospital by St. Mary Church there, where they used to have the bus terminals there. Billy Miller, which is Dean, she was proposed that you have choir, like singing and holding different events there, concert, right facing courts there, which you could see they developed. All Broad Street and Baxter's Road, she started to uplift the vendors who sold food, cook food, and do different things there. And since this present administration take office, they haven't done anything at all to the city. So when one could say they are blaming what Plan Colonel Bastica, Colonel Bostic have, which is the sheriff, he have planned for the city. Tell them he's not sitting down there, he have planned that. The only one plan, he got planned for the youth. And also, we also have severe person going in Bridgetownport could have get a cruise ship. Now how much Barbadian they teaching for those severe?
Okay, I heard one of the comments you made that the Democratic Labour Party did nothing for the city for the 10 years that they were in office. And one of the things we are charging the seat to do is to ensure that there's a certain level of balance and that the commentary is as close to accurate as possible. And I remember going to the... So there are a number of things in Bridgetown. Bridgetown is not only... I mean, we really didn't want to spend too much time on Bridgetown. But one of the things it was to improve the green spaces in Bridgetown. And we have the greens closer to Queen's Park. The name has evaded me. Colonel Boston, I guess you can help me. What's the name of that new park that was built?
Church Village Green.
So it isn't fair to say that nothing was done. We also had two... I went to one of the openings of the berth. I think that was berth four. I went to the opening of berth five in 2016. So there are a couple of things that were done. But I think what I can support you on is with the departure of the government buildings or the government offices, there has been nothing to support or to, I wouldn't say sustain, but yes, to support, given the departure of the government buildings. And I think that led to a greater impact, a greater negative impact on the city, because those same persons who would leave work and pop into a store and purchase something, they're no longer in Bridgetown. And because Bridgetown is so much of a thoroughfare, they lost interest in coming and because they had no reason to be there other than to pass through. And then the what we call the dying out or the dying off of a lot of the activity in Bridgetown has been a challenge. But I'm sure we said we're not spending too much time on Bridgetown per se. We're speaking specifically to the issue with relation to housing and land and ownership and where we go next. So we'll take one more caller and then... We actually don't have another caller right now. We have a couple WhatsApps. But if you can respond, we have any responses, or should we go straight into some of the other questions?
The issue of the Bridgetown Greens area, when the Church Village Green was first created, one of the first entity that used that green was the Barbados Film and Video Association. We did our film festival launched there.
Before the construction or after?
After the construction.
Oh, yes, lovely.
This went with when Lynette Eastman was president of the Barbados Film Video Association.
Yes, yes.
And this is something that Miss Eastman has always been taunting, always been saying. She wants to see more activities being done in Bridgetown. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about creative economy, that's what we're looking at, having a lot more activities within Bridgetown itself. Mm-hmm. The same green done by courts in Lower Green, bus terminal area where it was initially. The Independence Square. And one thing that most persons don't focus on, the Jackie Opa Amphitheater was a hell of an activity back in the time. Mm-hmm. And these are things that United Progressive Party wants to bring back into position. And the manifesto Ms. Eastman has for the city speaks to things like this, to rebuild Bridgetown through culture, arts, and craft. And that's something we got to really think about, because we want stores to actually come back to Bridgetown. Once upon a time, what was the Swing Bridge at the time, was a hive of activity of tourists. Today is non-existent. And we want to return that.
As we keep the topic, housing and land ownership in Barbados, where are we heading? Let us stay focused here.
The housing and land ownership is part of a broader goal of all the parties, I would like to assume. That is for a better being, increasing the quality of life for Barbadians. And that is going to lead to affordable housing, affordable vehicles. We would like a target to possibly reduce the taxes mm-hmm. on sedans in the future, in the medium to long term, on sedans. And we would also like to reduce the cost of living. My colleague Paul of the UPP alluded that Barbados is a broke, would you say? Broke, you said you were a broke or recession?
Is not, broke.
What was your
term? We have an issue with revenue generation.
No, I would clarify. The solution of Barbados is that Barbados is not, the government of Barbados has the issue with revenue generation. Not the medium and the large private sector organizations. They are managing themselves in the hotels and the many companies. They are not broke. They are not having a problem. They have a reduction in revenue, but they are not going through the indebtedness that the government of Barbados has gone through. And that has infected the confidence of private sector investors in Barbados, the rational expectations, which is number one, driven because the confidence in this administration and the confidence in Barbados as a whole is being affected. So it is the government. And every 10 years, a government needs to look at the marginal elasticity of its tax revenue collections to see if it's achieving its goals. And the revenues are down. And that is down because of the rates of tax have increased and it affects the revenue generation for government. And we've committed now that we after this 10 years, the top 5%, the top 300, top 3,000 earners in Barbados, which controls 70% of the revenue, they have gravitated to a corner. And they are generating the revenue. So we need to get that revenue from the top 5%. And we're going to reset the tax system, do away with VAT for a flat 10% tax. And non-political economists, independent economists would support this. And a rising tide will raise all boats.
Before we go to the phone lines, we have a question here on WhatsApp. What are the plans for mass construction island-wide and how will the environment be protected? And we don't want to become another concrete jungle. So that's something that you can consider. We'll go to the phone lines, and then in your response, you can answer that. Because we're going to 1:30 p.m. today, we're going to be doing our wrap-up comments soon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I want to make two comments. One, Bridgetown, there's a serious lack of car parking space. That's one of the deterrents to shopping.
We have six car parking spaces in Bridgetown. In fact, it is seven now because there was another one.
You had the BTA that shut down. You had the one.
There's only one that we lost.
Central Police Station that was taken over by the Juicer Development.
It still has parking now. I park there.
It still has parking?
Yes. A nice new set of parking. On one side is those persons who pay for monthly, and on the other side it is individual hourly rates.
Okay, I'm pleased to hear that there's a bit of parking there, but even when it was a full car park, you know, very often, most of the time, it used to pass car park, full sign used to be there. And especially if you want shopping up of Bridgetown, it's very difficult when you come down to Michael Road, those two car parks are always full. Then the space by Manning, that's the place that they're going to develop now into a hotel or something, so, but that don't really provide, you know, adequate space. And if you have any kind of impediments or anything, it's very, very difficult. I personally have that experience. It's very, very difficult to find parking space.
So your query then, your principal query has to do with increasing the level of car parking spaces across Bridgetown to enhance the Bridgetown experience.
Yes, and also now, I'm speaking of about the 10% taxation.
On housing and lands? Because that's our specific...
I think Mr.
Mr. Best, I know he mentioned it, but remember today we're focusing on housing and lands and where we're going as a country.
Okay, so...
This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was listening just now as a young person. I was hearing one of your panels. Good afternoon to the panel.
Good afternoon.
It's not the country that is going through financial difficulty. It's the government, right? So that means, right, that don't care who get in, then there shouldn't be a problem in getting things done.
Well, it really means what I thought was the clarity being provided for the candidate for UPP by the Solutions Barbados was that it is not fair to say that Barbados has a financial or revenue issue, that it is more the government of Barbados that has that challenge, because as he was pointing out, private sector does not have that challenge. Private sector continues to exist. Yes, they're constrained within the environment that they're in, but I think he was making a different type of point. You had another question? This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello.
Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We're going until 1:30 p.m.
Yes,
today.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Right. I got a question here, Carl. Can I get an answer from the Electoral and Boundaries Commission?
Okay.
They have sent me a circular. You listening?
I'm listening.
Right, they send out circular to me, telling me where my voting station is and blah, 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 but I got my name spelled wrong.
Right, and you call them?
Affect my voting. You can't get through to nobody.
You went down to them?
I ain't went down to
I think you should get a nice, if you drive, you get in your vehicle. If you have access to public transportation, you get there. If you don't have access to public transportation, you ask a neighbor or a family member or somebody to assist you, but I suggest you get there before the next 2 weeks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have a query. We actually have a response from Mr. Fort on one of the comments that our last caller just made.
What I want to focus on really is the efforts of the United Progressive Party in terms of its policies on housing. Now, our party is strongly based on the
In your response, going to get you to do your wrap-up. I'm giving you a minute and 30 seconds to do your wrap-up.
Our policies are strongly based on the private sector's involvement and working with government. As I said, public-private partnerships. And this involves civil society also. And so everything we do or suggest, we are suggesting rent to own, we are suggesting lease to buy. These are things that can help persons own homes, own pieces of the rock without having to go to the bank for loans and paying through their teeth or spending the next 40 years in debt. I can't live outside of that. So the concept of rent to own, lease to buy is going to help Barbadians and young Barbadians at that to go forward in terms of realizing their dreams of
ownership.
But you
know ownership. That's not a new concept because
we know
now,
it's not a new concept, but it's something we want to enforce.
Okay,
and the private sector has to play a major role in this. We talk about high-rise buildings, and what Barbadians aren't understanding from what we were saying today is that in order for we to accommodate the population growth, we need to start thinking differently. The two-story bungalow can't work anymore. It's not going to facilitate the number of persons that needs to be housed. And the high-rise apartments, the high-rise buildings for home ownership and land and living is the way to go in the modern day and age. And so the United Progressive Party policy is that the government will work with a United Progressive Party government will work strongly with the private sector and civil society in bringing this out to fruition and having persons to understand what we really want for the country. So when we talk about our policy, we are talking about really involving, again, as we said from the time we started as a party, involving the people, their opinions, and working with the private sector to get things done in this country as a government.
Thank you.
The private sector, the built environment, is approximately 20% of Barbados' economy. The goal of Solutions Barbados is to create an environment for the activity to happen. A rising tide is going to lift all boats, we see again. The economy and the government's management of the economy needs to be corrected. We can make all the pie-in-the-sky wishes for Barbados. But for that development to happen, the economy needs to be stabilized and the right policies need to come in place. We all share visions. There's some policies we agree on. But there are some things that we do not agree on. There are some things we will agree on. And the things we agree on, we can agree to put them in place. One of the things that we have different is we are 100% committed to a contract to the General's office. Every major capital works project when it comes to housing has been made, two-thirds of them have gone over budget and overpriced. And this affects the velocity of the housing development. I will turn it over now to my colleague.
Yes, Lisa. I want to leave the points that I raised earlier, the major points in terms of housing and land ownership in Barbados and where we in the Barbados Labour Party will be heading in terms of that. And I start first of all with land. And remember that I said that we have a number of lots in Barbados that are vacant and unoccupied, as well as properties. And that we will have a program in place, according to our manifesto policy, that will deal with those in terms of us interacting and trying to facilitate that process through the persons who own those properties. It also has to do with the putting the urban and the rural subsidization program back on stream, so that those persons who occupy those properties, who are renting land, that they will have security of tenure, and this will improve the situation of land ownership in the urban and rural communities. It also has to do with the establishment of a transparent agenda in terms of the allocation of housing and land in Barbados in the future to ensure that those persons who need, who has the great, have the greatest needs, that they get them. And it also has to do with the neighborhood upgrade programs in the rural, in the urban communities that I mentioned earlier in the program.
Thank you, gentlemen. This has been a very informative session. We dealt with the issue of housing and land ownership in Barbados, where we headed. We had members of the Barbados Labour Party, the Progressive United Progressive Party, as well as Solutions Barbados. We really want to thank Mr. John Stout and Mr. Dennis Johnson for assisting us in the studio. And the, I just specifically called the names of our panelists, Fallon Best from Solutions Barbados, Colonel Jeffrey Bostick from Barbados Labour Party, and Mr. Paul Fort from the United Progressive Party. I am Lisa Gale, I've been your host, and I enjoyed talking to you both by WhatsApp and listening to your calls. This is Down to Brass Tacks.